But seriously, I do want to thank the Lord for the opportunity to be here tonight, just to be in His house. It's refreshing to have Wednesday night services, to come and to gather with God's people and get that midweek charge that we need. And I know this is the message that God has for us tonight from Haggai chapter number 1. And so I want to read just a couple verses. We'll start in verse number 1, Haggai chapter number 1. In verse number 1, it says, "In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. And came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, It is time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." And we'll stop reading there. But we want to look into Haggai chapter number 1 entirely tonight and ask this question: what's your priority? What's your priority? And I realize that on a Wednesday night, you're getting the most faithful of the group that attend church, and we certainly thank you for that. But I believe God has a message in His Word for us tonight. And I think that I want to explain tonight some of what Haggai is speaking about and apply it to us, and I believe God's got a message for us tonight. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we just bow before you tonight, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. We thank you for, again, the safe travels for everyone here tonight. And Lord, I pray and thank you for their attendance here. And Father, I pray that even as our pastor says, we realize that that's just half the battle. And Lord, that you want to speak to our hearts. And Lord, I pray that we would just plug in and apply ourselves to what you have for us tonight. Lord, I pray that our hearts will be open to you and to your word. And Father, I pray that you would help us just to be hearers of your word, but doers as well, and to apply what we hear. And Lord, I pray that you would just keep the devil from distracting us tonight. May our minds be focused solely upon you and upon your word. Lord, I pray that you would just fill me as an instrument in your hand, Lord, and just use me. Lord, I've got nothing of myself to offer or to say. And Lord, I pray that you just help me to deliver what it is you've spoken to my heart about, and Lord, just how you've convicted even me tonight. Lord, I pray that you would just bless over this service time, and I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It was about 9 years ago when I started on staff here at Lighthouse Baptist Church. I started the Tuesday after Memorial Day in 2005. I remember the first day, and so just a couple weeks in, the executive associate pastor at that time, most everybody knows, Brother Adam Longo. Okay, who knows Brother Adam Longo? Just about everybody. But if you don't know Brother Adam Longo, let me explain to you what he's notorious for, and that is his mad organizational skills. All right? Brother Adam was a very, very, very organized person. And so one of the things he wanted to do with the new intern, me, the guy fresh out of college, is he wanted to take some time to get me apart and to talk to me about priorities and prioritizing things in my day and my week and my month and my year on staff and how to get things accomplished. And so I remember we sat down, and I don't remember exactly where we were eating at, but we sat down somewhere and we ate and we talked about it. I do remember it was a Chinese buffet. But anyway, so we sat down and we ate and we talked about it, and he began to share with me some of the things that he did, and he says, you know, you got to find what works for you. Some people do PDA, and some of you have no idea what a PDA is, but it's a personal digital assistant that nobody uses anymore. But he says some people has a PDA, some people use a notebook where they'll keep things, or they have a calendar. And so he began to share to me, you know, you find your own method, you find what works for you, but the idea is getting things accomplished, having your priorities and making sure that you get the most important things done first, and then you have time for the other things. And then he began to share with me some analogy, I'm not quite sure, but it had something to do with jars and rocks and sand and pebbles. I think it was something to the fact that you have a jar and you put rocks in, the big rocks in first, and you fill it in with the little pebbles, and then you put the sand in, and you can fit it all in that way. And he's talking about priorities, at least I think he was. But anyways, looking at that and realizing that he was trying to help me understand those things, he then handed me what he used, and it was a Franklin Covey notebook. And so I grabbed his leather-bound, I mean, this thing probably weighed 30 pounds itself, and he showed to me what he used. And so I opened this up, and I began to look at it, and turn the pages, and I saw these scribbled notes, and I saw red ink, and then I saw black ink, and then I saw two underlines, and then one underlined, and I saw some things were circled, and some things were starred, and other things were highlighted, and this was all his system. This was the way he prioritized things, the way he could stop and see what his priorities were at any moment. He could look on a day and see, hey, this is what's most important for me to accomplish today. And so after that, he took me downtown to the Circle Center Mall, and he took me to the Franklin Covey store. Now, I don't know, has anybody ever actually been to the Franklin Covey store? Okay, very few people probably have, but you probably know that Franklin Covey is not cheap. All right, it's very, very expensive stuff. And so we go in and we begin to look at all this organizational material, things are going to help me prioritize. And I remember grabbing one of the notebooks and seeing the price tag, and my jaw almost drops to the ground, thinking I've never spent that much on anything educational-wise or anything of that sort before. I couldn't imagine doing it. And so eventually what I did is I went and got a day runner. Okay, I got a day timer, day runner, a planner from a Walmart or wherever I got it from. And I began to use my own system, where I would start to take notes and I would plan out my week or plan out my day, and I would on certain days put certain things with check boxes. I'm a checkbox guy, so I like to make check boxes, whether it's on a 3x5 card or now on my phone, on my app. I like to check things off. All right, I like to be able to see it and check it off. And when I do that, and now I've gone past, I don't use paper anymore. I'm too using the calendar on my phone or using my Gmail or my calendar on Google Chrome, those type of things, organizing my day, organizing my thoughts, task lists, things like that. But all of that, wanting to accomplish the priorities that I have. Wanting to accomplish those things that I might list, that this is what I want to accomplish today. This is what I want to accomplish this week. This is what I want to accomplish this month. This is what I want to accomplish this year. And I find myself being a list type of person. I make lists of things I want to accomplish and want to do. Is anybody else like that, or am I strange, the only one? Okay, I'm seeing mostly girls. I don't know what to think about that. But anyways, okay? So that's the type of person I am. I'm a list. I'm a list type of person. I like to make those priorities. And often what I do is I'll take them and I'll put them into my app, and I'll even set reminders to remind me at a certain day or at a certain time to accomplish this task. And so I prioritize it. And sometimes you can set a high priority on things, or a medium or a low priority. But all of that saying that, I think we're familiar with the importance of priorities. What priorities are, it's accomplishing what needs to be accomplished. It's making sure what needs to be done, or the most important thing, remains the most important thing. Now, what's happening here in Haggai chapter number 1, we see that the prophet is sent to the people in Jerusalem, and he's sent to remind them of the priority and show them that, hey, what your priorities are and what God's priority is are not the same thing. And it not necessarily because they were bad priorities, but he just wanted them to see that, hey, the main thing is got to stay the main thing. What should be number one should stay number one. It should be on the top of that priority list. And so we see that their purpose here in Jerusalem. Why is it that they're even in Jerusalem? Why is it at this point they're in Jerusalem? You think about that. Now, you might sit there and think, well, it's because they're Jews. They're supposed to be in Jerusalem. But what has happened before this is the 70 years of captivity in a land called Babylon. As you guys know, the Lord said that because of their sin, their servitude to false gods, that they're going to have to suffer 70 years of captivity in Babylon. And so, of course, King Nebuchadnezzar and his men, they come in, they snatch everybody out of Jerusalem, they destroy the city, they absolutely wipe everything out, they burn the gates, they tear down the walls, they break down the temple, they do everything they can, they destroy the city, and they take people back to Babylon with them. So now they spend about 70 years in Babylon. And after 70 years in Babylon, the kings have taken, some of the kings have passed off the scene. And now a new king comes on to the scene. And this is King Cyrus. King Cyrus comes on. He's a part of the Medes and the Persians. The Medes and the Persians have taken over the Babylonian Empire. And so here is King Cyrus. Now, what he wants to do is he's looking at this melting pot of people that he had. Babylon was a very wealthy place. It was a very affluent place. It was luxurious. I mean, everything you can imagine. It was the big city, and it was a melting pot of people, partially because they would conquer and then bring in the best. And so there was all different kinds of people in that. King Cyrus decided, you know what? I want the favor of all these people's gods. The small letter G gods, whoever they are, I want their favor. I want their God to favor me. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to allow them to do whatever it is necessary to them gain the favor of their God, so I can then have that favor as well. So he sees the Jews, and he realizes that these people are originally from Jerusalem. And he says, all right, I want you to go back to Jerusalem, go back and serve your God, go back and build the temple. So the very reason for them being in the Jerusalem to begin with, this is the remnant. This is 50,000 people that have packed up and left Babylon, where they'd spent the last 70 years. Some had known nothing different than Babylon. And so they're going back. They're going to Jerusalem. The very purpose for them being in Jerusalem was to be rebuilding that temple. And so upon arrival, they set up an altar for sacrifice and they began to lay the foundation for the temple. Now, this would take us now, what we're talking about is the book of Ezra. The first four chapters or so is when all this has taken place. Already has happened is the book of Daniel. We're now into the book of Ezra, historically speaking. And so we're about chapter number 4, when the people of the land, the people in Jerusalem, not the Jews, not the transplants, the people in Jerusalem, the ones that were already there, they see this new group come in and start building a temple, start building the foundation. And they approach them and say, hey, we'd like to help. Can we do something to help? And Zerubbabel, he says, no, thank you. We're just going to go ahead and decline your help. And you might be thinking, why would they do something like that? But Zerubbabel realized that these were pagans. These were people that had no interest in the real God. These were people that were just looking to make alliances. And he says, you know what? We've gotten ourselves in this trouble before where we've started to team up with people who wanted no part of our God. We're not going to do it again. So he said, no, thank you. He declined their help. And so what happened is those people decided, we don't like that group of people anymore. We offered to help them. They didn't want to let us help them. And so they began to afflict them, even to the point where they're able to obtain a decree that said you had to stop building that temple. They were able to obtain that and deliver it to the Jews for them to stop. And so what did they do? They stopped. They stopped building the temple. The foundation was laid, but they stopped putting their efforts in to the one reason they were in Jerusalem, and that was to build the temple. And so this happened not for 1 year, not for 5 years, not for 10 years, but for 16 years. 16 years. They were in Jerusalem for 16 years, and they were all the only reason for them to be there was to rebuild the temple. Yet none of that time in 16 years, none of their resources, none of their effort in all that time was spent on the temple. It was spent on other things. And so God says, it's time to send a prophet. It's time to send Haggai to address these people, because what they were doing, it necessarily wasn't wrong, but they've missed out on the main priority. They missed out on God's purpose for them. They knew what God wanted them to do. All right, when Haggai comes to them in chapter number 1 and verse 1 and 2 and begins to say, begins to address them, this wasn't news to them. It wasn't like they didn't know they were supposed to be building the temple, but they were discouraged from finishing the work. That's what had happened. They'd been discouraged. They had left that main purpose because they were facing that discouragement because of the things that I had talked about, and the 16 years of leaving off of that were all born out of discouragement. And what happened is they began to be comfortable with where they were at. Began to be comfortable with just being there in Jerusalem, and they began to put their efforts into building their homes, their lives, their careers, their families. But I want to ask you this question. I want you to think about this. Were they in Jerusalem to rebuild their lives? Were they in Jerusalem to start a career? Were they in Jerusalem to raise a family? No, they were in Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. Now, there's nothing wrong with those other things, but the main priority or the main purpose for which they were even brought back to that city was to rebuild the temple of God. And now we see for 16 years, they've not been doing that. I want you to see this in verse number 2. It kind of reveals their heart. Haggai repeats something that they have said. He says, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. They had convinced themselves in 16 years that it was no longer the time for it to be built, that it no longer was a part of God's plan, that it was no longer something to give their energy and their efforts to. It wasn't time. Basically, they're saying this, it's just not convenient right now. It's not easy. It's not the easy thing to do right now. They never said they weren't going to do it. When God revealed their heart, he said their heart is not that they won't do it. They just say, not now. No, not right now. It's not important right now. Now, you might be sitting there and thinking, well, really, how does that relate to us, Brother Aaron? I know this took place many, many years ago. How does that relate to us? Well, the truth is that God has a purpose for every single one of us. God has a plan for every single one of our lives. God has a reason for us being here on this earth, and that is for His honor and for His glory. That is for us to follow His word and pursue a relationship with Him. The Bible tells us in Revelation 4:11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Then Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which whom God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So God has given us a purpose for our lives. God wants us to live a life that brings Him honor, a life that brings Him glory, a life that's committed to Him, and a walk in relationship with Him. But if we're honest tonight, and I'm being honest before you tonight as well, that I find myself having other priorities. That I find myself having other things be more important. That I find myself giving my time, my energy, and effort to less important things. And that's what's happening here. They've been distracted from God's purpose. And I know that we can be distracted from God's purpose as well. And sometimes it's sin that distracts us from God's purpose in our life, from following His good works that He's ordained for us to walk in. It's sin. Because we lose fellowship with God, or because we are dealing with the guilt of unconfessed sin, we can no longer pursue a close relationship with God. Sometimes it's because of our pride. We just simply say, I don't want God's plan for my life. I want my plan for my life. Sometimes it's because of discouragement. Discouragement's real. I know discouragement's real. And sometimes we can say, I'm discouraged. It's not easy. It's not convenient right now. But what happens usually is when we're discouraged, we're going to do one of two things. We're going to draw closer to the Lord, or we're going to drift farther away. And it's sad that sometimes we will find ourselves drifting farther away at the time when we should be drawing closest to Him. Or it could be we are distracted from God's purpose because of apathy. I want you guys to think about this. For 70 years, they'd been in Babylon. And we're talking about a very nice city. And they go from the niceness of Babylon to the desolation that is Jerusalem. An uninhabited place for 70 years. A place that did not see cities, did not see all the public amenities, did not see people in there outside of just some remnants. A place that was uninhabited. And so they've gone there, and that could dampen some zeal. You know, think about this. If they were in Babylon for 70 years and they elected, 50,000 elected to go back to Jerusalem, it's highly likely that of those 50,000, almost none of them had actually ever seen Jerusalem. And so all they've heard is their parents' stories. All they've heard is the stories their grandfathers have told them. And perhaps in their mind, they get back there and they see, oh, this is not what I thought it would be. Or maybe they're met with that oppression from the people there in the city, and they think, man, this is not how I thought it would go. And they grow apathetic, where they're just kind of indifferent to it. And we can find ourselves in the same place as well. But our purpose should determine our priorities. And our purpose is the greatest purpose at all, and that's to bring God honor and glory. But I want you to see their priorities in Jerusalem. You know, the Bible tells us in verse number three, He says, then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, it is time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie in waste. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. So God is saying, hey, I want you to stop and think about this. I want you to consider your ways. Now to consider is to fix the mind on with a careful examination, to think on with care, or to ponder, to study, to meditate on. God says, here's what I want you to do, Jerusalem. Here's what I want you to do, Jews. He says, I want you to stop and meditate on your way. Stop and think. Stop and examine. Look at the evidence and tell me, are your priorities right? And so here he begins to talk about these. He says there in verse number 3, and this shows us their priorities. Our verse number 4, it is time for you. He says, it's not, remember in verse number 2, they said this, it's not convenient for us to build the house. But then Haggai says this to them in verse number 3, verse number 4, he says, it is time for you, or now it is convenient for you, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste. So what he was talking about, one of the things that they had made a priority in their lives was their own shelter. I mean, they're there with the mindset and the ability and the effort to want to build the house of God, and yet that is taken away from them. And so they take that effort, they take that ability, they take that mindset, and they begin to build their own homes. Now, we agree tonight, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with providing shelter for ourselves. There's nothing wrong that now here they are, they're in the land of Jerusalem, and they begin to take care of their houses. There's nothing wrong with that they would build their houses. But the Bible talks about how they were sealed. And what that means is it's talking about that wainscoting, that type of thing, the paneling, the decorative paneling. So not only were they building their houses, they're adding quite a bit to it. They were making it pretty nice. So they're putting a lot of time, effort, money, energy into their homes. And that's one thing that he says was a priority to them, was the building of their own homes. And he goes on and says this in verse number 6, talking about, again, he says in verse number 5, to consider your ways. In verse 6, ye have sown much. So he says, not only have you been there building your houses, you have sown much. Again, we talked about the land being desolate. They had to come in. They had to plant everything over again, plow everything over again, do the fields over again. And so here they are. They're starting over. The land was desolate. They had rubble to deal with. Everything was grown over. They had to put the energy and the effort into making crop, sowing. And then we also say that it says there that they eat. And there's nothing wrong with this. They're making a living by sowing fields. They're eating. There's nothing wrong with eating. Okay, we all got to this point in our lives by eating. Am I right? I mean, there's nothing wrong with these things. These are not bad pursuits that they have here. There's nothing wrong with this, the fact that they want to eat food, that they're eating food. I don't miss a meal. You can tell that. There's nothing wrong with food. But even it talks about going on. He says there that you drink. So he says that you have sown much. He says ye eat, ye drink. Again, there's nothing wrong with having, we need drink. We need water. Now, I remember when I played baseball for 11 years, and obviously you play baseball in the summer, man, I needed water. And they called me the sponge because I would down it quicker than you could fill it up. And I would put away the liquids, and I can still do that to this day. I mean, I pour myself a glass of Diet Mountain Dew, and I cannot let it sit for more than a minute, 30 seconds. I can't help it. And that's passed on to my son. Again, there's nothing wrong with drink. There's nothing wrong with eating. There's nothing wrong with having crop or providing needs. There's nothing wrong. It goes on and talks about clothes, and then it talks about their earnings and their money and putting it into bags. There's nothing wrong with those things. These are all legitimate needs. So what's the problem? The problem is it wasn't the priority. It wasn't the priority. Look at verse number 9. He says, you looked for much, and lo, it came to little, and when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why? God says, why? Why did I do this? Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, and you run every man unto his own house. He says, the very reason you've came here, the very priority, what should be number one, is left unattended. It's not been taken care of. Yeah, you've taken care of everything else, and there's nothing, nobody would blame them for this. There's nothing wrong with shelter and with providing your needs. There's nothing wrong with food and water. There's nothing wrong with clothes and money. But what was wrong was its priority in their life. Now, I want you guys to think about this. What you make provision for is a good indicator of what's important to you. What you're able to put time, energy, and finances into indicates what's important to you. I think we would agree on that tonight. Now, they were doing this as the temple was forsaking. They were putting great effort, time, creativity, money, and more into their own lives. But the truth of the matter is, if it's important enough, we'll find time to do it. If something's important enough, we'll make time to do it. You know what? If it was important enough for them to build the temple of God, they would have had it done. They would have made it happen. They would have said, you know what? I know that they told us we can't build, but I know that my God is able. I can look back on years and years and years of Israel's history and know that God delivered them before and He can do it again. They could have done that. But they said, you know, it's just not important enough. I'm not going to make time for that, but I will make time to build my house. I will make time to do my crops. I will make time to eat. I will make time to drink. I will make time to have clothes. I will make time to have money. But if it's important enough, you'll make it happen. You know, I recently, just in the last couple weeks, there was a project that I was putting off for a very long time, and that was our garage. Okay? Our garage, thank the Lord, you could put a van in it, okay? But that's about all you could put in it, because everything else is just, it was trashed, okay? Part of it was some furniture that we had gotten rid of but didn't put out for the heavy trash pickup, and so things had piled up, and we have the world record for the most totes in one home. I think we have like 37 or something like that stacked on the wall. And so we just have all kinds of things, okay? And I didn't want to do it. But I eventually got to the point where I was motivated, and I said, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make time to do it. And so I took an entire day off, and I cleaned out our garage with my wife's help. I pulled everything out. I built shelves into the wall. I've never, ever built anything in my life before, but I was able to build shelves into the wall. I was motivated. I was fired up. I was ready to put my effort into it. I put my time into it. I put some of my finances into it and decided that I was going to do it. Why? Because it finally was important enough to me. I finally got tired of it and said, I want to make it happen. I want to do it. But here, their personal desires had taken precedence over God's desires. And he says this, consider your ways. I want to ask you this tonight, what's most important to you? Now, I know we're in church, but I want you to think about tonight, what's the most important thing to you? What's most important? You know, he says here to consider your ways, not consider your words? Because it's easy for us to say, well, yeah, of course, God is the most important thing. Well, yeah, of course, a pursuit of a relationship with Him is the most important thing. But He says, no, 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 don't consider your words, consider your ways. What does the evidence say? And that's where it kind of convicted my heart that, yeah, I know the right things to say. Yeah, I've been in church almost my entire life. Yeah, I'm on staff at Lighthouse Baptist Church, but those are just words. What are my ways? Consider my ways. Now, it's not what we say or list down, it's what we do. That's what our priorities are. Now, I don't know if anybody else has been paying attention, but the Pacers are stinking it up right now. I mean, like, epically. Okay, they are falling apart at the seams. And all year long, one of their stated goals was what? They wanted the number one seed, overall seed. Well, now, just recently, Frank Vogel said, well, we don't, you know, that's still the goal. He said that's still the goal. Now, I don't know if you guys know this, but they are sitting all five starters out of the game tonight. Now, I don't know about you. They can say all they want that the goal is still the number one seed, but when I see them sitting the entire starting lineup, it tells me, no, that's not the priority anymore. That's not the priority anymore. Why? Because what we do says more than what we say. And that's right where they're at here is, yeah, although they would admit or say God's the most important thing, the evidence says no. The most important thing which should have been building the temple of God, yet it remains desolate. Well, I want us to think about this tonight. What keeps me from walking with God? What keeps me from having a closer relationship with God than what I have right now? You know what the answer should be? It should be nothing. But oftentimes the answer is something else. What keeps me from church? Again, we know what the answer should be. The answer should be nothing. What keeps me from witnessing? What keeps me from serving? What keeps me from giving? In all of those, the answer should be nothing. But what the Lord pricked my heart about especially is that, you know what, a lot of times I might go through the motions, or I might be able to say the things, or I might feel like it's a sacrifice to do that, or it might seem like to give up 2 hours of my Saturday morning to go out witnessing kind of seems like sometimes I feel like I'm just going through the motions. But then the Lord pricked my heart and said, Aaron, you have no problem giving up 5 hours for two Final Four games. Again, I'm being honest with you tonight. That's how God spoke to my heart. That's how God has worked this message in my heart, is that I can find time, I can find money, I can find the effort, I can find the energy to do things I want to do. But the most important thing, my relationship with God, my attendance in church, telling others about Him, witnessing, serving, and giving, nothing should stop me from that. Nothing should keep us from that. And that's what I want to encourage us with tonight in thinking about our priorities. Yes, our priority, our main priority, the main thing should be our relationship with God and bringing Him honor and glory, and nothing should keep us from that. But sometimes we just need to stop and consider our ways, stop and take inventory, and stop and take a look at what reality is and realize that, you know, although I might say the most important thing is that, evidence says it's something else. It says it's something else. Quickly, I want you to see this, the product, what this produced, what them having the wrong priorities produced. I didn't read this part on purpose. In verse number 6, he says, you have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. Basically, God is reminding them of this, is that although you have all these things, he says, you're missing out on satisfaction. You're missing out on contentment. You're missing out on my peace and my joy. You're missing out on all these things. And he says, I'm going to frustrate everything that you do. Now, I know that sometimes we don't like to think about that, but God wants us to choose to serve Him. God wants us to choose to have a right relationship with Him. He wants us to pursue a walk with Him. He wants us to choose to do what's right. And the Bible reveals all throughout the book of Deuteronomy that before us is a blessing and a curse. And we get to choose what it is for our lives. We choose the blessing or we choose the curse by what we do. And that's what God is revealing here. He says, hey, I put before you a blessing and a curse. I put before you my one priority, and you've chosen something different, so you have chosen a curse. And although you might have all these things that you can list and look at, he says, they're not giving you satisfaction. They're not giving you peace. They're not giving you contentment. I think sometimes we find ourselves frustrated, and we don't know why. We find ourselves lacking contentment. We find ourselves just being disappointed or discouraged or let down. And may I submit to you that oftentimes I believe it's because we have not considered our ways and realized that at some point along the way, the most important thing is no longer the most important thing. Although the other things may not be bad in and of themselves, but they've taken place of the most important thing, and that's bringing honor and glory to our God. And ultimately, that same hand that provides blessings can withhold them. He talks about a drought later on in this chapter. But I don't know about you, I don't want to risk my health or those around me. I don't want to risk my wealth, my prosperity, my peace, my happiness, my contentment, because I want to follow my own priorities. No, I want to follow God's priorities. I don't want to let good things keep me from doing the best thing. Again, the list we're talking about, the things we're talking about, there's nothing wrong with that. And then there's nothing wrong with you having a job. There's nothing wrong with you having money. There's nothing wrong with you having possessions or recreation. There's nothing wrong with those things. But when those things begin to place themselves over God and our pursuit of relationship with Him, where we find ourselves making tough decisions about whether or not we're going to spend time with Him in prayer, or whether or not we're going to be at church, or whether or not we're going to spend time to go witnessing, or whether or not we're going to give of our finances and start to choose other things other than the pursuit of God, and we found ourselves right where they're at. And we find ourselves lacking contentment. Now, the last thing is this, is I want to see God's plan. Maybe we find ourselves in that position. Maybe you're sitting here tonight, man, I kind of feel in my heart that I've got some misplaced priority. God's kind of pricked my heart a little bit. What do I do? What's the solution to that? Well, I want you to see verse number 8. God says this in verse number 8. He says, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house. He said, let's do the main thing. He didn't say, sell your homes. He didn't say, quit your jobs. He didn't say, give away all your money. He didn't say, trade in all your nice clothes for less nice clothes. He didn't say to stop eating so much or stop drinking so much. No, because there was nothing wrong with those things to begin with. No, this is what he said. Let's just take this. You had this list of things that you were doing, and God's temple was down here. This is all we're going to do. Let's take it from down here and put it right up there. That's what he said. He says, go. Let's go get the wood from the mountain. Let's build the temple. And sometimes it sounds so easy, but that's what God wants us to do. He's not asking us to give up things. He's not asking us necessarily to get rid of everything and start with a clean slate. He's saying, no, let's just take the most important thing and put it right on top of your list and make it a priority. Take that wood and build the house. Get back to the priority. Pleasing God and walking with Him. It requires work. He says you're going to have to go up. Now, think about this. They were sent there originally with all the supplies needed. Now they've taken, for the most part, all those supplies and used it on their own houses. And so they could have sat there and said, God, we're just going to wait for you to dump it in our laps and then we'll get started. No, God says, no, you're not going to wait for some kind of special revelation. You're not going to wait for some kind of a gift from me. He says, get your feet moving. Do what you know you need to do to get the temple built. Go get the wood. Bring it down. Hew it yourself. Split it. Get the beams up. Get started. Get going. And sometimes we think, man, I priorities aren't right, but I'm just going to wait till everything is just the perfect moment. I'm going to wait till it's the convenient season. I'm going to wait till everything's lined up the way it should be, to where I won't have to make any cuts in my job, or I won't have to make any tough decisions about my recreation or my personal life. No, that's not what God wants us to do. He says, hey, go ahead and do the work. Go ahead and do what's necessary. Go ahead and put in the time and the effort. Spend time on your face before God. Be faithful to the house of God and serve Him and give. And God says, I'll bless you for it. I'll bless you for it. That's what He's revealing to them here. He says, verse 8, go up to the mountain, bring wood, build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. I mean, that's it anyways. That's all we really should want from our lives, is to please God and glorify Him. God says, hey, Israel, if you'll do this, Jews, if you'll do this, you don't have to get rid of anything else. If you'll just do this, go get the wood, bring it to the house, and build the temple. He says, if you'll do that, He says, I'll be pleased, and I'll be glorified. Right. Now, that's all He's asking, is that we move Him to the top of the list. And sometimes some things have to be removed off that list because they are such a temptation to us to place it above God that they need to be removed. But here He's asking them to get back to the priority. And the result is that He is pleased and He is glorified. Now I want you to see this, verse 12 through 14. This is the great part about this passage, is that although that about 11 verses here, Haggai had to deliver a hard message, I think that this was probably one of the most successful prophet messages ever. In verse 12, it says, "And Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God." Obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. That was it. Haggai said, "Hey, your priorities are wrong. You've put emphasis on all these things when the temple is desolate. So here's what you need to do. Go up to the mountain, get the wood, build the temple." And you know what they said? "Okay, we'll obey. We'll do that." He says there, as you read on, he says that they obeyed. In verse number 12, "Obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai the Lord's messenger, and the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord." God says, "I want you to know you're not alone. You want to make me the number one pursuit? You want to make me the number one goal? You want to renew that commitment and priority of me in your lives?" He says, "Know this, I'm with you. I'm for you. I'm going to be with you." Verse 14, "And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God." They got to work. They got to work. Now I want you to do this. Turn to Ezra chapter number 5. Ezra chapter number 5, page 534. We see that they obeyed. They obeyed the voice of the Lord. They were stirred up. They got to building the house of the Lord. And you know what? A funny thing happened is God took care of everything else. Imagine that. God took care of everything else. Chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Then the prophets Haggai, the prophet, and Zechariah, the prophet of Iddo, the son of Iddo, prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, even unto them." So, chapter number 4 at the end, that's when they leave off building. Then 16 years take place, and then we're at chapter number 15, talking about the prophets showing up. "Then rose up Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedek, and began to build the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and with them were the prophets of God helping them." And then we won't take time to read the rest of this, but of course, they try to stop it once again, and then King Darius comes in and says, "You know what? Let these boys build. In fact, we're going to send stuff to help them." Imagine that. God worked it all out. And I believe God did that because they made that the priority. You know, it reminds me of a verse in the Bible where that we're probably all familiar with. It says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." I want to remind you of that tonight. I don't know where you're at in your life. I don't know what's going on, but I want to encourage you with that thought to consider your ways, to stop and take inventory, to look at and see what's the priority. What is it that keeps you from church? What is it that keeps you from walking closely with God? What is it that keeps you from serving Him? What is it that keeps you from witnessing? What is it that keeps you from giving? If the answer is anything but nothing, then something needs to be done. And bring that before God, confess it to Him, and the remedy is very simple. Get back to the main thing. Get back to the priority of making God and the pursuit of relationship with Him and bringing Him honor and glory the number one thing in your life. If you'll do those things, He's going to be pleased and glorified. I'd like to have every head bowed and every eye closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. This is the time for us to respond to how God spoke to our hearts. And I believe with all my heart this is the message that God had for us tonight. And I don't know how God might have spoke to your heart, but hopefully tonight, maybe this was just a warning message to you. There was really no action required other than just to put you on alert and just to encourage you and remind you to keep the most important thing the most important thing. Now, praise the Lord if that's you tonight. You ought to just fall on your face before God and just thank Him. Just thank Him that He has been the priority, and ask Him to continue to give you strength to help Him to be the priority in your life. But it very well could be that you're here tonight and you're thinking in your heart that, man, I've got some things out of order. Maybe some good things have put themselves in the place of the best thing, and that's bringing God honor and glory. Maybe you've been reminded of that tonight. Maybe you've stopped and considered your ways and realized that the evidence says something different than what you might say. I'd invite you just to come to the altar and just open your heart up to God and ask Him to help you to make the main thing the main thing. Help you to get your priority back to where it should be. And I don't know what's gotten you off task. Maybe it's been discouragement. Maybe it's apathy. Maybe it's sin. I don't know. But you can bring that before God tonight. We don't have a musical invitation, but now's the time for you to respond again to how God has spoken to your heart. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You again for this night. We thank You again for just the privilege to be in Your house. And Lord, I pray that You would just help us to make sure that our priorities are in line with what You say they should be, Lord, with You and our relationship with You as number one. And Lord, may our actions and our lives reflect that and be evidence to that. And Lord, I pray that if necessary, that we would consider, that we would examine, that we would be willing to stop and take a look at our ways, our lives, and make sure that we have our priorities in line. And Lord, I thank You for everyone in attendance tonight. Lord, I pray that You would just dismiss us now with Your blessings. Lord, I pray for Pastor and Mrs. Tibbs, they travel back, that You'd give them safety as well. And Lord, I pray that You'd help us to all be in our place again on Sunday, ready to worship You. For we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.